Welcome to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his pal, Dave Damashek.
All right, welcome to the Extra Points podcast. Cousin Sal coming to you with his good pal, Dave Damashek, heel producer, Jim Cunningham, babyface Joel Solomon. We're all here, Dave. You're probably listening to this on Thursday, April Fool's Day. It's funny, I play jokes all year, and April Fool's is like the day I take off. I play pranks on people, but yeah, I step aside.
Good for you. I love that, Sal. That's perfect. That's like most people, like, you know, when I was 22, I would take off New Year's Eve or maybe more like 25, because I realized amateur hour, you know, I'm not right. Let all the jerks have their fun for one day. I dominate the 364 otherwise. Good for you. That does make a ton of sense for you.
Well, someone's not playing my game, though, because I feel like I wasn't going to talk about this. And I'm like, what the hell? I got the shot and I am feeling like shit. This is the COVID, the COVID shot I'm talking about, Dave. Oh, yes. Okay. The vaccination. I got poked. You know what? I saw the line. I was like, how old are you? The woman's like, 73. I'm like, get behind me. I'm going ahead of you. I just jumped the line. I just did whatever I want. And so I got the shot. And now, ironically, and maybe it's an April Fool's prank by Mother Nature or whoever, I am the sickest I've ever been, or at least the sickest I've been this year. So here we go. I may let you talk for an hour. I may let you do an hour on the Penguins shorthanded line, if you want.
Everything feels upside down all of a sudden. The Sabres beat the Flyers, breaking, what is it, 17 games, 18 games? I've been against the Sabres, 18 games. And the Flyers, they barely survived the Sabres a few nights ago, and then they actually did get got this time. The Celtics not looking good lately. They lost at home now to the Mavs and so on and so forth. So I guess that
just keep talking. I'm going to let you. Got an hour. I'm going to let you go. No.
Well, don't. I like you couldn't even give it half a beat before you had to interrupt it, because people are reaching for the stop button on the podcast. Like, we're not. No, just joking. Dave is not going to talk at great length here.
I'm not joking at all. I guess there is some stuff we have to get to. The Final Four is set. It's Baylor and Houston. Baylor is a 5-point favorite on FanDuel. Gonzaga, a 14-point favorite, the largest since 1985, largest Final Four spread over UCLA. That over-under is 145.5. Let's just talk about the games. Well, I think.
You sound defeated.
I'm sorry. I'll pick
but
it
we
up.
We did. Last
I'm just
time
trying
we
to
spoke.
Analyze it. Yeah, because we have Gonzaga.
Okay, but on Monday when we spoke before those games, we emerged victorious. We went undefeated with our picks there.
Oregon State got a little lucky. Both were close to the spread, right? Yeah. We took Oregon State over Houston. I think they were getting 7 or 8. They lost by 6 or 5, something like that.
It's a great feeling when you're just like, oh my God, got to survive one more trip down the court here. Maybe somebody will throw in a celebratory one, or an uncontested dunk by the other. And with those, it's a great moment in gambling when the guy has the ball and you realize, oh, they're not going to foul here. And he just wraps the ball up like this for the final 4 seconds. And you're like, we're going to do it. And that's exactly what happened with the Beavers by half a point there. And the only person I was happier for than us, or the people I were only had, was were Jeff Schwartz and Brian Scalabrine, Pac-12 enthusiasts who cheer. They don't care. They just want the whole conference to win.
This is the test we presented with Scalabrine, and I heard you basically did with Jeff Schwartz too. Now you have UCLA. You mean to tell me you want UCLA? If you went to USC, especially, you want UCLA to win this? What are you going to show up at the parade? How far does this go, Scalabrine, Jeff Schwartz? It's like, UCLA now that USC is out? Come on. I'm not buying it.
The meantime, where is the parade for the Southwest Conference? I mean, when we grew up, these are the teams that were vying for the Cotton Bowl annually, were Baylor and Arkansas and Houston.
Right.
And, you know, where's their parade here? So, everybody's talking about the Pac-12.
Let's pick these games. You know, it's easy to say, and I might just say it, that UCLA, what the hell, they barely scored 50 against Michigan. Michigan was atrocious at the free throw line. So was Alabama. But maybe that's why UCLA is a team of destiny. I don't know how to play it here. I know if they score 50, they're not going to stay with Gonzaga. I know they don't have the two best players on the court. Suggs and Time are the best in that game. I know that Juzang, I mean, he's not going to, he scored 55% of their points. So
I can't, you know, score what? 50. I didn't connect those dots watching the game the whole way through. That's crazy. I mean, for a single game, obviously, for that to happen. But Martin Weiss pointed that out, our pal, of course, here on Extra Points. And yeah, that's remarkable. But it was the nature of the buckets he was making in the second half that really stood out. I mean, he loaded up in the first half. But those were some rugged baskets and different types of baskets, taking it to the goal, contested long twos and otherwise. But yes, I'm with you. Ultimately, we can wax for the next 45 minutes, or I'll just do it alone so you can rest. Either way, how are you? I'm going to go
UCLA. I'm going to take them. Really? Yeah, very, very, very tentatively, because I have to pick it. Because here's the thing. Even the best teams, they have a little bit of a scare. And in this case, a scare would be a 10-point win, right, for Gonzaga. But even the best, like I said, Christian Laettner's Duke Blue Devils had to make that crazy shot against Kentucky. That's one of the greatest teams of all time. Remember Tyus Edney, right, going court coast to coast against Missouri. That team won the championship in 95. Gonzaga, you know, maybe it's the next game against Baylor or Houston. What do you think? But I think it happens. I think UCLA scores 65. Gonzaga scores about 75, 76. And UCLA covers. Well, you're going to take Gonzaga, too. Yeah.
Gonzaga's been putting up lofty point totals. Like you say, UCLA, the opposite against Michigan there. Gorgeous, though. What a Rose Bowl beauty that was. Those two uniforms side by side out there. Yeah, to your point, Gonzaga has won its games in the tournament by 43, 16, 18, and 19. And by the way, to throw in there, Baylor, after their little swoon with COVID and everything else, and they lose the one, and they lose the conference tournament game, they've won by 24, 13, 11, 9. I guess you could say that's a trend, because a downward trend for them. But nevertheless, neither team has been challenged at all. And, you know, anecdotally, without looking too much of it up, like you say, you just cited two great examples of juggernaut teams that did get tested somewhere along the way. I 90 UNLV is the one to me. They beat, in that tournament, they beat three teams, including in the title game, they beat Duke by 30 points, which is a funny numerical oddity that they won three of six games by exactly 30 points.
Yeah.
But they almost lost to Ball State along the way before they ever got to the Final Four. I think they beat them by two or three in that one. So to your point, Gonzaga isn't just going to run the table and whip everybody along the way, or are they? And if they do, then, I mean, do we start making the talk about that they're the best single season team of all time?
You could definitely start the talk, I think. But as far as the under goes, I'm sick of betting overs here. I know they've come down to it, but they really have this figured out, FanDuel and all the smart people there. But I'm sick of looking at the score at the second TV timeout. You know, what is it, under 12, and the score is like 7-4. Or 9-2 or something. Mm-hmm. So I'm going under. But here's the thing. The last four double-digit seeds in the Final Four since 2006, George Mason lost to Florida by 15. VCU lost to Butler by 8. Syracuse lost to North Carolina by 17. Loyola Chicago lost to Michigan by 12. All those underdogs failed to cover. Will UCLA cover against Gonzaga? You're not going to pull the trigger on it, are you?
Well, it's fine. I don't like those gigantic point totals. And you know, it kind of is one of those things. It's like a college football game is a decent comp. Is like when the first string, when you get to halftime and you're up, you know, 34 to nothing or whatever. Like, you know, who knows? I don't know how sideways things get, and when the second string guys do or don't do, and all of a sudden the game's like, it's right at the where they set the number ahead of time. I'm not going to go against Gonzaga. I want this to happen. I want Gonzaga to play Baylor. I'm going to go with that, but I'm with you though. The better bet is the under. That seems like a lofty point total. And in the other one, both have been middling against the spread the last, their respective last 10 games. Like I say, Baylor has been pretty much taking the pipe to everybody. Houston, though, more successful. They've won 11 in a row. Baylor, like I mentioned, has lost two out of their last, I think, 9, is it? Something like that, for what that matters. But Baylor, the superior conference, of course, like I say. I'm going to take Baylor here and get our dream final here. And then the tournament will have been worthwhile. As long as we get the Zags and the Bears, all will be right. And I'll owe you an apology for disparaging
you already owe it. You already owe it. There's 2-1s, a 2, and then you have to send the relative.
But also, again, Oral Roberts almost.
No, we're not talking about that.
That would have been dumb. That would have ruined it. And then there wouldn't have been a case for it. But okay. We survived.
I get it.
We got
one bad team wins 2 games, that invalidates everything.
Well, there were more than one bad team. Oregon State, what the hell were they doing?
Well, let me just say this. Let me point this out. Because you have no problem watching a 6-7 seed in the NHL second round for 7 games, not just 1. So that's why you could do. That's why you have to watch it. But there's been more upsets this year in the tournament. Now, an upset is a 5 seed or lower than any other year. 14 upsets. 2014, there were 13. 1985, there were 13. And yet, we still have 2-1s, a 2, and an 11. That's what makes this great. But on to the game that you brought.
I'm with you. I you know what? Maybe I have to back down. If we can continue to get these results, then everybody's getting what they want. You get your fun upsets 2 weekends ago. I get, the meritocracy that I crave.
That's right. Baylor versus ranked teams, 9-2, an average margin of victory, 10.4. If you like, if you want to take Houston as an underdog, the last 13, they're 11-2 against the spread. Pretty good. Baylor, when favored by fewer than 8 points, 8-1, and 8-1 against the number, average margin of victory, 11. And then there's good numbers for Houston's defense this season. Second overall national rank of opponents points per game. But I think it's all about guard play. We had Steve Lavin on Against All Odds last week. Have you seen this Maceo Teague shoot? Have you seen his set shot from behind the arc?
That's the way you're supposed to do it. You know, Chitwood and company, they were set shooters. The newfangled jumper from 24 plus. That's too much. You don't want to, that wears out your legs. You can never win the 3-point. That's why Larry Bird always won the 3-point shooting contest. You understand? Cause it's a set shot. He barely left his heels to shoot the ball, whereas everybody else was taking straight up.
No,
jumpers.
That's fine. It's what he does with the ball. He has it at his head. Then he brings it back to his belly and then right back at his head. It's really fascinating to watch. Joel, did you see that? Have you seen Maceo Teague unleash from behind the arc?
I was watching the Sabres game. The
Come
Sabres.
On, stop that. Stop that now. It's Maceo Teague. It's Davion Mitchell. It's Jared Butler. Those are the outstanding guards. I think guard play is what does it. Houston did not shoot well in their last game. The guards didn't. I think they were like 7-for-24 or something terrible. I'm taking Baylor minus the 5 points. What do you like?
I'm with you. I'm going Baylor. And then we will hopefully get on Monday night. We will preview it for you. The next time we speak, the next time me and Sal get in your ears, we will be talking about a grand final.
Really good.
Maybe if COVID hadn't gotten in the way, it would be 2 undefeateds.
Yeah, you're right. Can UCLA be called a Cinderella?
No, it's been bothering me since they were doing it the whole game. And yeah, it had that vibe to it. Mm-hmm. I felt like there was a certain, I always say the thing about when you're a heavy favorite and you're a fan of a heavy favorite, what stinks is if you watch sports for too many years, it steals the glee. You don't have any actual joy. You just feel relieved. I felt like the kids on UCLA were like, in their faces, they're like, we're going to the Final Four. It's like, phew, good thing that happened while I was at UCLA, because that's why you come to UCLA, is to have a shot at the Final Four.
Yeah.
And now we got there, and they kept calling them Cinderella, but it's UCLA, and it's John Wooden, and it's the 95 right. team, and it's everything. And it's the Ben Howland teams. And so I think it's kind of like, you can't call them Cinderella. I'm going to give you another movie character. Mm-hmm. It's John Travolta's character in Pulp Fiction. He was just gone for a little while, and now he's back, and we've been reminded, like, movies are good when he's in them. You
I was
going
to say, that guy died on the toilet. I don't know if that's, that probably UCLA's fate,
too. That's what's going to happen. Yeah, he's going to, right.
I see. I kept
the Final
it in
Four.
The...
It's like a bowl game, like right. it's not a toilet bowl, but yeah, they're going to get flushed by games. That's it.
I kept it in the fairy tale realm. I thought more Snow White than Cinderella. Like, Snow White gets the prince at the end, but, you know, she was beautiful. Had the nice dress. It wasn't so much a rags to riches story. Yeah, she had to deal with those dumb dwarves and everything. But and there was a witch or something. But you knew at the end, she had the grit, right, to get there. In fact, UCLA is a Power 5, Power 6 conference, whatever they call them now. It was unlikely that they got to where they were. My God, they were down 14 to Michigan State in that play-in game, in which, ironically, Michigan State ended up screwing Michigan, right? If they just would have taken care of business, maybe Michigan doesn't lose to UCLA in the, well, they wouldn't have because they wouldn't have played them.
I'm glad you mentioned this. I don't know. You know what? Maybe we'll let you skip it because I'm done with the curmudgeon stuff about this tournament.
Oh, come on.
But I do want to say what you just said. That's exactly right. This was a team that wasn't even properly 5 years ago or 6 years ago, whenever they added these extra teams, the play-in thing. This is a team that might not even have made the tournament. Now they're in the Final Four. It does kind of lend itself to my argument about these games are coin flips.
An argument that has just been completely crushed. There is just this little sliver.
Well, not completely crushed based on what I just said. But okay, I don't want to get into that. I want to have a sunny disposition.
What sport, I'm not even trying to be argumentative here. Which sport is the best at producing an elite team as champion on, you know, based on their postseason tournament or whatever it is? I think it's NBA. I think the NBA does a good job, and which makes me wonder why NHL is so far lagging in that. But NBA, I think it's because there are five guys, basically five starters, fewer guys who could screw it up, right? Maybe Tom Brady and the Bucks are the best team, but if the kick returner muffs three kicks, you know, might not be enough for, you know, so you have to worry about 22 guys on the field. NBA, it's the five starters. For some reason that hockey doesn't have this, home court advantage means a lot. You'll see teams at 33-8 at the end of the year with their home record, and it carries over into the playoffs. And that's why typically I think the NBA's champion is a very good team. You're not going to see, and obviously the 3 out of 4, 4 out of 7. Why doesn't hockey have this? Why is there no home ice advantage?
I know there have been anomalous teams playing in the Stanley Cup final, but I think it goes in terms.
You know what I'm talking about. You know, when the eight seed is up 2-0
I'm talking about the ultimate result. I mean, what during our lifetimes, it hasn't happened as much in the 21st century because hockey, just like every other pro sport, has free agency now, so it's hard to sustain any sort of dynasty. But you know, in our lifetime, who's been more dynastic, dynasty inclined more than the NHL? The Habs win four straight.
You're
going to
talk about
40
years ago, 50
straight.
Years ago. We've seen a fair share of eight versus
like
one.
It's the Yankees, I guess, are the most sustained, like actually winning titles at the back end of the 90s and at the first year of the 21st century. But
the thing that eats away at you is that the bad teams are advancing. So with that said, I'm trying to break it down for you. Why is there no home ice advantage in those series where the 8 seed takes the first two? Like,
it's all nature of the game stuff. I mean, the correct answer has to be among our most popular North American sports is college football, because they only put four teams into the
right.
mix. So you can't have some, you know, mediocre team some plucky bunch that sneaks through. They're going to be good by definition.
They don't allow for any hijinks. Right. So
right.
For
but,
sure.
And by the way, theoretically, I should love this that Final Four much more than I do every other postseason tournament. I just am raw about, given its nature, the flow of it, the episodic nature of college football is corrupted when they say, yeah, we know you lost, but we're going to still put you into the Final Four anyway. Like, no, put an undefeated team in. You can't put a team that already lost to one of these other Final Four teams, like what happened with Notre Dame.
Yeah,
against Clemson. Oh yeah, I know you lost to Clemson. Get it? Maybe you get another shot.
Well, a lot of times it has to do with what's sitting waiting in line, right? And if it's the Cincinnati Bearcats, not fun for the sport, not fun for the fan. I don't think.
Disagree.
But I hear what you're saying.
No, it's fun. The name brand is what people like. That's lowest common denominator. That's why people like. That's why the network and college football likes Notre Dame, because of the brand name that Notre Dame brings. But of course, the one thing we know is when you see Notre Dame lose to Clemson is, well, we know one team that definitely isn't going to beat Clemson after we just watched them lose by 3 or 4 touchdowns. So we can rule them out of the Final Four, and yet they put them back in. Makes no sense. NBA, though, for a more expanded playoff kind of vibe, I'm with you 100%. And again, nature of the game with that. And consider these two hypotheticals. I know I've thrown them at you many times before, Sal, but if the Nets played the Pistons, the 2021 Nets played the 2021 Pistons in 10 best of seven series, the Nets would win them all. They would the Pistons would not win one of those series. Let's say it's even best of five, just to give them a puncher's chance. They would not win any of those.
Nine out of ten. Yeah.
If the No, they would sweep that. The Pistons would not win three out of five.
Oh, these are statements. I thought I was involved.
This is a declarative statement. Thank you for accepting it in advance. Two, and the second one though, you are right. Nine out of ten, maybe even eight out of ten. If the LA Dodgers played the Pittsburgh Pirates.
No.
In 10 best of five series, the Pirates would win. They would win two of those series. That's the way baseball goes.
That's fine. That's still a very good percentage. If Tampa Bay Lightning played the Detroit Red Wings in 10 series, I think we're looking at seven.
That's not best. No, it's...
Well, just watch the game. Well, have you taken the playoffs off? Because this happens all the time. Where eights, what happens when an eight upsets a one for you?
I remember way back, Sal, you've been doing this for 20 plus years now, since at least I've known you, is you love those, it's scary stuff. Not my money, but I remember way back, you would bet the favorites in the first round of the NHL playoffs.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was crazy.
Well, I think that's why I'm angry, because I get that. I make such dumb bets.
You lose one of those, that's right.
I had a bet... I had our friend the Beast and I had our friend Brian Polk jump on this. I was like, look, how much money you want to make? They're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, how much you want to make? Like $500? Like, yeah, like, all right, good. You're going to make $500. Here's what we do. No triple overtimes in the NHL playoffs. We're going to bet it. It's like, what? Don't we have to bet a lot? Like, nah, don't worry. How much do you want to bet? How much you want to win? Like, you want to win $500? I'll get you $500. The very first playoff game went to triple overtime. And I said, well, listen, we'll always have money. And they didn't accept that we'll always have
money. They were upset by that.
They didn't like that. But
that's exactly right. It's the same thing that everybody who goes to Vegas for the first time or sits down in a casino, they think they're gonna trick the system that has existed for at least, I don't know how long, 200, 500 years, 21. Right. Like, yeah, I have a way to beat the house here. And that's just like, if I lose a hand, double the bet. Just going to keep doubling until I get
Martingale,
my money back.
Martingale system doesn't work.
Well, it doesn't work. Right. So that's what you were basically kind of applying.
You're right.
Like, well, that can't lose, right? It happens once, then you're going to feel burned.
Well, you know why that doesn't work.
Now we got to the root of it. We solved this.
That's why they have table limits. That's why it doesn't work, so that you can't do that, right? So even if you try to win lunch every day, let's say $10, and you double up, I think you can only do it like seven or eight times before you hit the table limit, and then you got to take your chasing money to another table. So,
well, it's vexing. That's exactly right. Yes. But it's more because you know by the number, I could do this almost every time, and I will always get back to square, if not ahead. But if I ever... get it wrong. If it ever goes against me, I'm really...
And it's stupid because if you've ever played even 20 hours of blackjack, you know that you could go eight in a row losing or winning. So, what did you send me here, Joel? What is this?
I know Dave, is a hockey savant, and he's very into trophies. And the hockey awards the President's Trophy, which is like the most meaningless trophy. We're going to give you a trophy for winning the regular season.
I just had this conversation with my old man. He had the same conversation that Sal is perpetuating here. I agree. There's something weird about that President's Cup specifically. The very best team has a really bad record of doing that.
Well, it depends which president, which president it's honoring. I guess it depends, right?
That's right.
It's made a little more sense in recent years.
Like who the good presidents were and how often the teams that won the President's Cup during those 4 years did well. Yeah, maybe.
We got all the best people on this team. I don't know why we bowed out to the Red Wings in five.
All these presidents would have been impeached because not since 2012-13 when the Blackhawks were the best team in hockey did they win the cup. Ever since
but it's the same thing as the Masters par three thing. It's like it's well known, like you win that, you don't win. Anybody who wins the par three at the Masters never wins the proper tournament. Like here, you know what I would do then? Not win the par three. That's one thing I wouldn't do.
Right. All right. Make well, we still haven't gotten an answer.
Don't get the President's Cup. That's
as
all.
To why there's no home ice advantage, really. I really don't think there is, especially when it hits the playoffs. I don't know. Maybe spaghetti or meatballs can jump in. But I will say this. I don't think, here's a narrative I'd like to ditch. All it takes is a hot goalie. I don't think we've seen that in a while. Have we seen a goalie like go six games, giving up one goal in the playoffs? Well, no, it's usually a good one that gives up one or two or something. But, okay, all you need is a hot goalie.
Oh, Eddie Spaghetti's all-time favorite man who played a sport is Hank Lundqvist. So you're insulting him with that talk. But yes, it's it's because, Sal, viscerally you don't feel like this guy is stealing goals. Boy, he's keeping them in this game because your eye sees, maybe your brain, it doesn't register. But they're so padded up. They're all Michelin men in there. They're not as acrobatic. Patrick Waugh was stealing games for the Blue Blanc.
Yeah, it seemed it happened more when we were younger than
because
what I'm saying.
Well, because it felt like they were doing it. They were standing on their head to make these things. You know, say Marty Brodeur on, like everybody fills, 9/10 of the net with gigantic padding and all that nonsense. It doesn't feel as much a physical feat as it used to, I think. But yeah, you're right. I don't think since Hank Lundqvist, maybe, would you point at a guy as saying, like, boy, this team wouldn't be there without just the best goaltending we've seen this season.
It's tough. Listen, you want to bet hockey? Go for it. You want to bet basketball? Even better, especially this weekend. Tournament down to just four teams. We mentioned them, Baylor, Houston, Gonzaga, and UCLA. And if you've been watching from the sidelines, now's your chance to get in on the action. FanDuel Sportsbook is hooking you up with exclusive 40-1 odds on all four teams left in the bracket, even the favorites. All right, now, Dave, we talked about how nothing makes sense anymore. The Sabres are winning, but this does not make sense that FanDuel's giving away 40-1 odds on any team. That Gonzaga, who's like $11 to win $1 favorite, you could take them and get 40-1 odds. You win $200 on a $5 bet on Gonzaga. Let me just tell you to do that. Why even think? Don't overthink it. All you have to do is download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and make your first deposit to unlock exclusive 40-1 odds. The app is so easy to use. And when you win, you get paid in as little as 24 hours. Just sign up with promo code Extra Points so they know we sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code Extra Points. If UCLA is to pull this off, do we need a parade? It's getting a little, I know it's not right to get out a pandemic parade. Do we just bust through Lakers, Dodgers, UCLA Bruins? My God, we're not going to see this again, are we?
Well, Juzang definitely at least has to get loaded and stagger off of a ship somewhere. I mean, yeah. We got to get that to match what's going on the other side of our sports country. Yeah, it's a little weird. UCLA, would that be offensive? Is that a mixed message for people?
I think maybe.
It is Pesach right now. Maybe there is.
It is, right?
For the final.
Oh, yes. Minutes. Yes. Are your parents upset that I'm pulling you away to do this dumb podcast?
Oh, they don't. They couldn't give a good goddamn sense. they're happy because their four favorite people, the grandkids, are hanging out with them just underneath where we speak right now.
Yeah. And your kids hate the Jews, right? I mean, that you famously went on there and said
I know. I know. It's weird. The final four questions. We did those around the Pesach table.
Oh,
the final four questions. That's a Jewish joke. I did that one for Babyface Joel. You get that one, right?
Babyface, you get it?
Eat the bitter herb. You open the door for Elijah to come on in, join you at the table.
That's the only final four I'm worried about this month.
Amen. Amen.
What's the bitter herb of the year? Forget it. That's a whole thing. Hey, in addition to April Fool's, opening day in baseball, and it's April 1st, so I know I'm going to get a fight out of you, but April now, it's not the worst month of the year. I know there's basketball, there's hockey, there's stuff going on. Now there's baseball, but I can't believe that we have to wait till May 22nd for basketball playoffs, and we have to wait till May 11th, I think, for hockey playoffs. Is anyone going to be upset if we get that going in 3 weeks? We need 7 more weeks of this?
It's a little controversial. You're right to say that April, when you have big time sports going on, people always, well, it's obviously July, but by July, and
July will be good.
July's good because football is nigh. Now we're coming together. Now we're getting excited, and now we're counting the days until training camp, and that's fun. That anticipation is what it's about. I'm with you. April might be I'd never thought about it until you laid it out.
This
I think
April.
Maybe April is. It might be a
August is probably the worst. August has got to be the worst. Not our friend August. He's definitely also the worst, but Mike August. But yeah, August has like 3 bad weeks in it, right? But
well, it has those exhibition games where people think, oh, this is great, where kids get excited, like, oh, football man, and you see the uniforms come out.
Are they having them this year? I don't even know. Do they have them?
That's a good question.
I'm not even sure.
I don't know if they're definitely going to have them. As you know, they're going to have the 17th game now. So,
right.
So I don't know what to make about all that. But I'm just more worried about you right now, Sal. Is Melissa, are the boys, is it, because it's weird. You're sick from taking the drug that is going to keep you from being sick. I love, my favorite thing, one of the great days of my lifetime was when I was driving home down Pico one day. And I saw a tow truck getting towed and I ascended to cloud 9 and my feet still haven't fully touched the ground ever since. You're sick from the drug that's supposed to keep you from making you sick.
I need a tow truck.
Do they take care of you or are they like, well, get over it. You're.
Well, I made the mistake of my wife got the shot too and we got it yesterday and she was out like almost immediately. And I was like laughing at her and she's like, okay. She's like, wait till tomorrow for you. I was like, what are you talking about? I'm a big, strong man. I'm a big, fat, strong man. I'll be fine. I'll take anything. And as soon as I was on the 10 driving to work and it walloped me. I'm like, oh crap. No. What am I going to do? Now I have to, you know how it is. Like whatever it is, like, oh, I got to get to this place and then home an hour later. So somehow I did it. I stopped off at a bar and put a few back and then that was good. But Dave, you talk about your best day ever when finding the tow trucks. I want to remind you of one that, because you know, I'm like a steel trap that I remember everything you tell me and we can cut this out of the podcast if you want. Didn't you make out with someone at a ballpark?
I did one time. I did.
You it got was, to it wasn't first opening base
day.
At a baseball.
It wasn't opening day. Oh, it was in midseason form. No. Yeah. 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 Right. Hit the foul pole. I don't know. I'm trying to think of what would be the most appropriate,
clean this story up however you can, but is that all you can tell?
I can't tell my tale. Yeah, I don't work blue, as you know.
Jim Cunningham, do you want to hear this?
I did work Dodger blue that day. That's
Jim. Sure. Jim wants to hear this story. Jim, come up. Let's see you for a second.
Yeah, please.
See,
I know.
How do you let that down?
Jim's in it. He really sounds fascinated by it. Where are you coming from here? What a hipster bar in Los Feliz.
Where are you? You're like in a blimp.
Jim, where's Wilson? Just pull Wilson out. And unbelievable what's going on here. All right.
I got bad news for spoiler alert on how things wind up with you and your pal Wilson there.
Jim hasn't cut his hair in many, many years. But okay. Dave, so God, take us through.
Inappropriate. You know, yeah. Listen, I know is that I was told by a ballpark employee that I had to knock it off.
They don't like that. Tommy Lasorda has to be the show. I'm guessing it was a Dodger game.
They didn't like it. And it's one of those things that's upsetting because, you know, Ty Cobb was a jerk, but Pete Rose is allowed in the Hall of Fame. He isn't allowed in the Hall of Fame because he bet. It's like, which is the worst crime? Spiking guys and being a racist and spitting and this and that or whatever Ty Cobb did? Yeah. Or Pete Rose throwing a little bit of action on his red legs?
So you were doing it in the name of Ty Cobb. Like, hey, the worst guy in baseball history put spikes on the guy slotting in the third.
Right. Yeah,
nice.
You're going to get the spike head
and so,
first.
And I'm so like, you did stop or you didn't listen?
I did what I did. But what's outrageous about it is, now that you bring this up, is and I can find the photograph to prove it to you. One of the worst days of my life, also Dodger Stadium.
Oh,
it was sweltering. I went out to the ballpark for an August daytime ball game. Just, you know, brutal heat, as you know. I'm sitting there in Chavez Ravine around that time of year. And I look over my left shoulder. And I mean, I'm not talking, I mean, 4 feet away, if that, an old lady had put her bare stinking foot right up next to my head, right up next to my head, Sal. Like,
wow.
It was like this. It was like right up on my head there, but it wasn't my foot, it was her foot.
Wow.
And it just sat there for innings on end. And I got louder and louder about how I didn't like it.
And she didn't pull away?
And really? Loudly, I didn't like that this foot was hovering behind my head.
So you're like, where is this asshole usher who was stopping me from getting to third base?
So busy with me
around third base.
Expressing, you know, tenderness towards another human being while I'm being attacked by a foot.
Right.
You know?
Now, was this, did you inspire Kiss Cam? Because that, or were you reacting to it? I mean, maybe there's a foot cam now. Maybe we're not really allowed to embrace anymore.
We need to start shaming people. I got to find this photo for you. I'm going to find it for you. But
what, of you kissing? There's a freaking photo of it? Oh.
I mean, maybe. Maybe it was spread around the police stations in the greater Los Angeles area. But
man.
Beware this man.
Let's do this. We went over a lot of this with Jen Piacenti and the Degenerate Trifecta. And by the way,
she's
Paul
great.
Duca,
she really is great on the baseball, especially. She really is crazy with the depth of knowledge. I don't know. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Do we know anybody who runs that deep with the baseball, with the obscuro names?
The Parlay Kid texted me afterwards. He's like, I got to say, I was a little off my game. I'm intimidated by her. I was like, there's nothing wrong. We just own it, right? Like, she does her homework. She's into it more. She's more knowledgeable about it. We're all afraid of bringing up someone who's going to have a good year that's like injured, right? So we're like, I remember looking at her by, he's playing. Okay, good. All right, I'll go on with my pick. So that was it. But yeah, she did a bang up
Brian,
job.
Brian, he retired a year and a half ago.
Yeah, right.
Now, now playing in Asia.
But she's terrific. The Dodgers, also terrific. Plus 350 on FanDuel to repeat as World Series champions. The Yankees, plus 550. That sucks, though. You'd have to like root for them, right, if you bet that. And the Padres are 8-1 odds. Then you got the White Sox, plus 850. The Braves, 10-1. And my New York Mets, 10-1. Should I go down, Dave, to your team?
Please
you don't
want to? Please don't. It hurts my feelings. And it really does ding the credibility of calling Pittsburgh the city of champions. I can't really do it as long as the Pirates are there. I long ago, 15 years or so ago, said they just, because there used to be, when you would drive into Pittsburgh, there was a giant billboard and it said City of Champions, and there was a big Steelers helmet and a Pirates hat. I think they now should just amend and put the asterisk, City of Champions, asterisk, and the Pirates. That's the only
that's
way
not bad.
To still make that claim.
Claim to be the city of gross bare feet on seats, because that's sort of where the odds would suggest they reside there.
I mean, it's embarrassing. Obviously, with that this is where they're projected. But I think I'd love to do something more fun than the Dodgers. It's just so hard to go against them because of the depth of their pitching, both in the starting rotation, which is an all-timer, what they're going to throw out there. But then the bullpen looks improved, actually, I think, from where it was 5 months or so ago. So it's really hard to go against them. Now, the Padres are going to put up more of a fight than anybody has in that division of late. But on the other hand, I'd love to go with like the Cardinals as a, for instance, who don't look like world beaters on a piece of
paper.
That's
my team. Yeah.
Is that right?
We're doing it again. We skunked Illinois, but we're going to do it again. What are they? 22-1.
I like that because it occurs to me that at least the Braves have to go through the Metropolitans and at least the Dodgers have to go through the Padres. I mean, like the Red Legs are the biggest threat here to the Cardinals this season.
This is an even bigger embarrassment for your Pirates. I don't even know if you realize, and it was a weird year because everyone played like 58, 60 games, but your Pirates were the only team to not make the playoffs in that division. So when you say it's easy to go through them, I don't know. Everyone was like 30-28. So it's different, but I see what you're saying.
But you talk about those repeated matchups that you bemoan so much in hockey. Well, that's baseball, obviously, and has been forever. And the Dodgers and Padres have the benefit of playing this side of the Pirates, the three worst teams in the National League.
Right.
What do you think, though, about this jive? And I don't know by the time they better not. They're going to, and I'm really going to be sick about it. The DH. I don't think I've ever had a DH conversation with you.
You could probably find some inconsistencies on stuff I've said before. I like the National League batting a pitcher.
Sure.
I just do.
Of course. Yeah. What's the point of the skipper otherwise? What are we talking about then? Joe Torre, the outsized praise. Maybe he deserved it. I guess they did win a ton. Mm-hmm. But it was all just every piece about Joe Torre, every interview, every day. So it's about managing the egos and the millionaires and, right. and all that sort of thing. Like, yeah, I guess so. If you're in the American League, if you're not constantly evaluating, swapping pitcher out and when you're going to put in a bat at just the right moment and everything, it really does diminish
right.
the value of the skipper. But beyond that, it's the game, and it also fascinates me too. One of my favorite sort of paradoxes in all of sports is the idea that every pitcher who you watch in Major League Baseball mm-hmm. was surely the best and probably wasn't even close, the best slugger.
You got to keep
on
it going,
high school
right?
team.
Yeah.
Had to be. But when they step into the batter's box in the major league, it looks like they've never held a bat. I mean, like, what is the drop? What is that owed to? Why do they look so goony? Like somebody who's never thrown a ball before equivalent. They hold the bat. Like, what the hell happened to you? Weren't you hitting home runs 4 years ago against whoever?
The stance is weird. Years ago, we used to say throwing like a girl, but yes, it's the equivalent of putting a mitt on your opposite hand and trying to throw. And that's what these guys look like. Yes, you're right. They should look better, but it does make sense that they bat 071 because, some of the best 400 hitters in college aren't going to make the major leagues by practicing every single day. And if you're not going to, you're going to take BP for 1 minute a day. It's going to show.
And the
overall
deficit in that nine spot in your lineup mm-hmm. is a key detail in how baseball games go. And when you negate that and instead plug in and you juice it up to say like, no, instead of having an atrocious batter who is going to derail any little rally that we might try to get going in this half inning, but I guess we could try to bunt the man on base and all the strategy that goes on around that is negated. Instead, no, let's just plug in maybe the best hitter we have right in the middle of the lineup. It's just dumb.
It's not dumb. I could see both sides. And by the way, you just cried about having to watch Oral Roberts for 2 hours. Like, why do I have to watch this team? Like, all right, you're going to watch Jacob deGrom bat 109 times?
By the way, that's all, as a matter of fact, in the age of free agency mm-hmm. and wild swings and differences in what Major League Baseball teams pay for their roster, it also gives you, it gives the Yankees, it gives the Haves mm-hmm. a bigger advantage than they already had. They're plugging in. Who do you think, if the Pittsburgh Pirates, if a DH rule is enacted in the National League, who are they plugging in to combat who the Yankees are going to use as their cleanup hitter?
So the Pirates
going to make it war. It's going to make it even a bigger disparity. It's ridiculous.
The Dodgers are expected to win as many games as the Pirates are expected to lose. 103. It's almost exactly the same.
Give me the Dodgers over, by the way. I mean, I would
103. My God.
I know that's hefty, but like I said, they have a lot of games against worst teams in the league.
Well, I feel that's why I'm taking the Cardinals to go 16-3 against the Pirates. I think it's 19 games, right?
Yes, that sounds right.
And I like them over 86 wins. I like them to win the World Series. I believe that's 22-1. You said you like them too. They have Nolan Arenado. That was the biggest signing of the year, the offseason. I don't know what happened with him and the Rockies, but they're like, here, go. And here's $51 million. We're going to pay your salary. You got Paul Goldschmidt. He's in his third year. I really think that is a solid lineup.
Arenado was.
I know the numbers should go
down a little bit, there's speculation that he's not going to slug like he used to going forward here. But yeah, by that, I not to knock your Metropolitans. I like the Braves for that. If you want to value bet, I think not that that's a long shot that the Braves would survive the National League here. But if you're looking for somebody fun to follow this season, I like them and I like their staff as well. So
Braves 10-1 odds, Cardinals 22-1. Cardinals have this guy Piacente. Couldn't say enough about this Dylan Carlson guy, this right fielder, could hit 30 dingers, rookie. They have like four of the top 40 prospects. Yep. What is that, Baseball Prospectus or something? Prospectus? Am I saying that wrong? I don't know.
That sounds right.
There it is. So, all right. So, Dave, you are going to go Braves 10-1. I'm going to go card. I'm staying away from my Mets. I know it's disappointment, but I'm betting DeGrom for really? Cy Young. Individually, I'm betting all of it.
Make a case. Are you just trying to do the pessimist bit and so that you'll be happy when it comes because you don't want the because that, like I said at the start.
It's part of it, yeah.
When you're favored and you're heavily favored, you just feel relief when you get over the hump. You don't feel joy. And that stinks about being a sports fan. But I think you got to put a little something on your
Metropolitan. I'll put a little something on them, and I'll put some on the individual players, and it should be great. And I think a lot of it has to do with Syndergaard when he comes back, how many wins he needs. He may have to get like 5 wins from midseason on. But it's going to be fun. Baseball's back. Dave is going to be making out. Very, very exciting times coming up.
Not with any feet, though.
No feet. Oh, I want to talk to you about NFL Pro Day.
Yes.
Now, we saw Zach Wilson's throw last week, right? Went 173 yards, something like that. And then Justin Fields tries it yesterday, rolling left, throws a bomb. It goes, and this is all the rage, right? On Twitter, on Instagram, wherever you want to look. Do we get too excited about the super long throw, thinking, you know, hey, first of all, is he going to do this once a year, twice a year? Is he going to be asked to do this? Secondly, there's obviously no rush. There's no pass rush. I just don't see how it's practical. Like, I'd rather see you run into a Kia Sorento, right, and push it back 3 yards into the end zone. Like, that's practical. You're going to put your head down and run or something like that. You're not going to be there rolling left, throwing it 75 yards. It's impressive for sure. But I would say, you know, your dad's a doctor. If he wanted to be the head heart surgeon, right, at a little company of Mary in Pittsburgh, he wouldn't say, hey, look, watch me pull a splinter out of my son Dave's toe, right? That's not a good audition. It's not practical. See. You see what I'm saying here?
I do see it. And I mean, my biggest beef has always been with this thing. Yeah, to answer your question. Yeah, I'm not sure who it's for exactly. Is it to expose it can't be in this, maybe in 1974, it was true that you had this was the first chance to almost literally look at a guy beyond some grainy film you got from the other side of the country. But now you get a good look at all these guys over the course of their college careers. You know their dimensions physically. You know their basic speed. What all this measurable jive.
Yeah.
And ask scouts about it. Ask, like, how much stock in this era do you put in anything that happens at these pro days or the combine or whatever? Like, give me the percentage of what influences you most? Your interview with him, the game film. They'll say, like, oh, I mean, it's almost entirely game film. So then what are we doing all this nonsense for? And
I think because everything else equal, you're going to go with the stronger and faster guy, right? There are a lot of close calls when you're cutting the roster down from 100 to 80 or whatever. Actually, they only do the one cut now, right? It's right to down to 53. Yeah, right. There's probably a lot of 50-50 calls there. So then I think those numbers might factor in. But yeah, you're right.
Games, you know what that is, Sal? That's the that's snaking thinking is what it is. Oh. That's the equivalent of focus groups. This is like what TV executives do. It's your job to figure out if this is a good show or not. Then they spend all this money and they get all the time and effort and they, script, and there's the revised script. And then 78 scripts later, they finally shoot the pilot and they cast it. And hand-wringing about who can we get this actor to do it. And then they shoot the whole thing. And then right at the time of, like, are we going to go with this series or not? Then they give it to a bunch of bums in I don't know where to decide if it's a good show or not. It's that sort of thing. And, like, I don't know who's better, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Mac Jones.
Not
like,
that.
We've
level.
Watched
yeah.
a game film. We've watched yeah. a game film. Well, we need to decide if Justin Fields was 0.2 seconds faster in his sport. Like, who cares? If you can't make that decision without that information, like I say, it's not 1974. We've seen plenty of these guys. There's no – remember in what's the Schwarzenegger picture when he goes to Mars? I don't know why I can't think of it.
Twins. No?
Yeah, no, I don't Total think recall. So. Total Recall. Right.
Okay.
Twins, DeVito is with Schwarzenegger. Remember Schwarzenegger? He's looking for Quato, and he thinks he's found him, and he's like this 6-foot guy who's blonde. Mm-hmm. And then the guy's like, whoa, 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 this is Quato. And he unbuttons his shirt, and then the little creature is attached to him. Mm-hmm. And he's like, open your mind. You don't have, there are no
what
secrets.
What the hell
like
are we talking about?
I'm telling you something. Those secrets aren't there. There's no like okay. going out at the All combine right. or pro day shirtless. Like, wait a second. Do you know the actual reason he's good is because He's got an alien creature going like, open your mind. Like that we don't have these secrets. What do we need all this nonsense for? You already know who you're drafting. And if you don't, shame the devil. But you knew when college football season ended who you were drafting.
Well,
and not just you, Jacksonville, either. You know who you're taking two Jets if you stay in that pick. This is nonsense.
There's no, that's not true because the Giants surprised everyone. There's always a surprise. And no one had Daniel Jones on their board. And like some GMs, you know, that for lack of a better term, have a hard on for players and against players. But that's I don't know. I hope they shake it up. I don't want it to be 1-2-3 like we're doing Lawrence Wilson Fields. I want to see some fun stuff go.
Well,
Panthers step up or something.
I keep saying, see, now we're in smokescreen phase of the draft. Now, well, my reporting shows that the Niners traded up to get Mac Jones. Did they really trade up to get Mac Jones? Do you think that the Niners, when it's draft, the third overall pick, San Francisco 49ers, Alabama, Mac Jones with Justin Fields sitting there and we've Trey Lance. Another, come on. That's
why? Because he made that throw? God, there you go. You're just another one just because of that big, crazy throw.
It's the other side. It's football season is what you should look at if you're evaluating football players, not the nonsense of pro days. And you shouldn't regard August either as any meaningful evaluation of the players for September. It is the Civil War reenactment. Looks right. We could talk about this forever,
but nothing's tit for tat, right?
At least
Trey Lance didn't play against top ranked defenses. He didn't have. He also didn't have. You got to figure out guys like that too. So
all right, at least put your helmets and pads on so that it at least approximates what it's like when you're in a game. For goodness' sake, I could throw a ball I could throw a ball 10 yards further without the helmet and pads than with them. By the way, when I throw a touchdown pass to an NFL player, I am not wearing a helmet and pads.
You're not going to wear one. Okay.
I will if you want me to. Anyway, get back to this tit and tat you were talking about.
No, I want to get to
remind me of my baseball game experience.
Mike, oh, that's right. Yeah. Oh,
tits
wow.
And tats and everything.
See, now he's kissing and telling. Michael Strahan fixed the gap in his tooth.
I heard.
And I feel bad for him. Well, first of all, what took so long? Just do it. But now everyone tells him they're missing the gap. Oh, the gap looked so much better. Like, no, it didn't. He looks better now. And that's why he
doesn't.
It. He looks better now. Come on. What do you mean?
I mean, if he were a 16-year-old child and he was like, oh, yeah, and you never knew it by the time he was 18 and got to college and you never knew the difference, then that's one thing. As we talked about just a couple of days ago, I think, Terrell Davis and Brett Favre both had braces in the Super Bowl. They're grown men. Like, well, too late. Now you didn't get your teeth fixed in time. The world knows what you look like already. You can't now change the fact. It's too late. I don't care for it.
It's not too late.
You got the GMA gig already 5 years ago.
Yeah, but I bet. I think he loses out on some endorsement deals because of it. And I think he can get it back. I do. I don't know. I don't think a lot of people think it's as adorable as maybe you do, but
I didn't know he was hurting for revenue. So
what are you talking about? None of these guys are.
The Good Morning America, for goodness' sake.
All right. Well,
by the way, that's a pretty good career. If somebody would have told you 15 years ago, a guy in the NFL in 2021 is going to be hosting Good Morning America, how far down on the list do you think Michael Strahan would have been for you, Sal?
Well,
seems like a pretty big stretch.
Yeah, I guess so. Well,
the giant the literal giant guy with the space between his teeth. Yeah,
I would say seven, he should have to fix his teeth, and that's what happened. But do they redo the Hall of Fame bust with Strahan, or does it? I mean, that's a legitimate question. If someone significantly changes his or her look,
so like if Holyfield went in with the ear, and then would they go back and amend it and take a chunk out of it after Tyson bit it?
Right.
Kind of
good call.
Thing.
Good call. I could take it to an extreme if Bruce Jenner was a football player.
That's a great, that's your number one, right? Yeah, that would be weird. Yeah. That's a fine question. I wonder, did anybody, there's that famous one of Gene Washington who went on to be, one of the front office muckety mucks of the NFL. There's that one where he takes his helmet off, his 49ers helmet off, and his hair goes like poof.
Yeah.
Are there, I'm not sure. I've been to Canton. Are there any guys who have gigantic afros or really long hair? Snake Stabler's, he's got all the facial hair. Dion's got the whoopee on his head.
Right.
Do they change it? it does make me think about, you say bust, Hall of Fame bust. I have to remind you again, bust, our rangiest word in the English language. If you are
you talking
really,
about feeling up the girl at Dodger Stadium again, is this what this is going?
If you want to, that's one way you can apply the word. You can also, if you're really exemplary at football, they give you a bust. Also, if you're terrible, you really flame out in football, then you're a bust. Also, boobs. Also, to break something. Also, to be happy, I'm busting. Also, if you arrest somebody, you busted them.
Yeah. Did you say, I mean, it's similar to some of the you mentioned, but if you hit on 16 and get a 7, that's bust. The first word. You
there
bust.
You go. Look at that. Bust. Yeah. What a word that is.
Oh, I didn't even realize, Joel. Is this true with the stray hand thing?
I mean, people are speculating. It's you know, this would be the internet talk, but Dave, it could be an April Fool's prank. By
I think if you went the other way, it would be an April. Like, well, oh, he's missing a tooth. What happened? I don't know. This isn't a great prank. I don't know.
What you don't want with an April Fool's prank or prank in general is the reaction that I had to Michael Strahan fixing the space in his teeth. Like, did you hear about Strahan fixed his teeth? My reaction was, huh?
Yeah.
Sort of like when I told Tony Dorsett that my grandfather saw him play when he was at Hopewell High and called my father on the phone to tell him, I just saw a guy that's going to break every record in college football and he's heading to Pitt and it's really exciting. And I said, Tony Dorsett, isn't it amazing that, you know, 30 years later, here we sit in Los Angeles and my grandfather made that phone call. My father treated you at Pitt when you were there. And now I'm sitting talking with you. And Tony Dorsett similarly said, huh?
Yeah, well, because he didn't like you call him Dorsett, because 30 years later, he's Dorsett.
No, but then I said, because of that story I just told you, can you grandfather me into the proper pronunciation of your surname? And he said, sure.
Do so they that, change so we, that so on his bust? Piece. Is there a phonetic spell? I wonder what goes on.
I don't know. So you're advocating that we do need to fill. So Joel is saying that's a pretty good one. That's going to be a pretty. Where do we give that? April Fool's joke then, Sal, if that does in fact get revealed that that's just
what's the joke that's kind of what it is anyway, right?
Right, like,
or
who cares?
Veneer,
right? The reaction is like, yeah. What was the guy's name, the greatest April Fool's joke, mass April Fool's joke, was Sid what's his name from in Sports Illustrated?
Sid Finch, the Met player that could throw 121 miles an hour, right?
Yeah, 135, wasn't it? 135, 140, something like that.
And that was good.
But you just had the catcher couldn't react in real time. So, but Sid could always hit the glove right in the mark. Wherever you put the glove, he would hit it every time.
Damn it!
Because they were afraid if we ever put him into a real game, he would kill somebody if he hit them with the ball.
But I felt like it took months to figure out that was a prank, because Sports Illustrated was all we had. And there was no internet or nothing, and there was no Joel Solomon to say, "Hey, this, I think that's a prank." But yeah, what are you gonna do?
Well, we just about did it, Sal.
Let's get going. I have one more question for you, and I'll let you take this yourself because I really don't care. Godzilla versus King Kong. It gets released today. I'm putting Godzilla at -180.
Well, this is as lame as Batman versus Superman. There's some backstory that we don't know yet. I'm not reading about this movie, but of course, Godzilla has the fire. You know, he shoots fire. So what are we talking about? It's like, it's the same thing as when people would tell me about who would beat Darth Vader. Like, you know, Darth Vader would beat all. He would beat anybody in a fight because he has the Force. You would never get within 50 feet of him if he didn't want you to. He would just think bad about you. He would just do this to you, and then that's it. You get strangled without coming into his zip code. Same thing with Godzilla. Like, oh, look. The gorilla's coming at me. Like, look out, Godzilla. Here he comes. I turned him into dust. That's the end of the movie.
What
are we going to do with this move? What kind of movie is this? It's the same thing. Like, I didn't see Batman versus Superman, but how was that a fight? I don't understand what the backstory was of that. It's like, remember when Superman fought Ali, though, on the cover of that comic book?
Oh, yeah.
Same thing. Ali was mighty, but Superman would probably win that fight.
Yeah, but Sid Finch would beat Superman. I think we all agree there.
I don't know. I would be too busy making out to pay attention to what's happening out there.
But. I asked my son, my 15-year-old, I'm like, Godzilla or King Kong. I was like, I think
by like 5-1 odds. This is like Buster Douglas, so? Tyson type.
Oh,
odds,
really?
Right?
So I said King Kong. I was like, he's agile. He's like, yeah, he's a gorilla. He'll crush Godzilla. He's like, Dad, don't be stupid. Godzilla survived like a nuclear bomb or something. Mm. And so, you know, I smacked him in the mouth. I said, no, you don't call me stupid. I'm dying here. I can't even get through this hour-long podcast.
I'm gonna give you a few days to ponder this one in your infirm state. Go ahead. I don't wanna spring it on you. If you were pairing, because we already saw a Predator and Alien fight too, and full disclosure, I don't like jiving people. I didn't see that one either. Even though I loved Alien and Predator separately, I don't need to see them together. Mm. Batman and Superman. Now King Kong and Godzilla. I want you to consider the best possible matchup you could create between movie characters that are human beings.
Mm.
Human beings, no powers, no powers. You know, that's the trick. Because if you're Superman, you would never lose a fight.
Travolta in Pulp Fiction against Danny DeVito in Twins. No, all right, let me think about it. I will think about it.
Oh, but I'll just say it again to you, Sal. Yeah. So you know where, open your mind. That's what Quado says. The guy opens his shirt. And then next thing later, the guy shoots him dead. The taxi
Open your mind and open your email and send us a note at theextrapointsgang@gmail.com. We went over a lot of stuff, our basketball picks. Should there be a pandemic parade? What's the alternative for Cinderella? Because UCLA is not a Cinderella team. Opening day talk. Oh, and if you're the lady that Dave made out with, yes, you should email us. And I would love to hear her side of the story. Theextrapointsgang@gmail.com.
I like her side of the story.
Want to hear her side?
It was a dark incident in her life. I'd rather not recall.
Do you want to make out at every stadium? Is that what you're doing? Is that your idea?
Okay. Yeah. Let's go for that. I got to start making up for lost time, though. Is it a different? I understand that there's some trafficking news going on here. I don't want to run afoul of the law by flying anybody to the wrong.
No, I got you. Well, no, it's you and Morgana, the kissing bandit. That's it.
We got to catch up with her.
Yes, for sure. Catch up on -3 with Dave. He has Jeff Schwartz on. They talk about this Pac-12 debacle. If you should be rooting for the Pac-12.
He's really good too. Cause we talk about the Russell Wilson thing. I think it's reached a point now where the Jets really, if the Seahawks said like, great news, Jets, the big day has arrived for you. We're going to trade Russell Wilson. Mm. You give us the second overall and give us the next year's first rounder. And this guy and that, and be, I think Joe Douglas would be like, nah, I don't know. I don't think that's a great idea.
He might be. I think you miss it. And a lot of people forget this very key cog that he has a trade veto clause and he didn't show any interest in going to the Jets. He had four teams he was interested in. And if the idea is to win the Super Bowl, you're not picking the Jets. If he was, you know, if anyone could trade him at any time, it's a different story.
If John Schneider comes to him and says, hey, Russ, great run and everything, but I know you wanted to move on, you know, New York, you had something. We worked out something for the Jets. We're going to ship you over there. Would he be like, nope, I'm not leaving now.
Yes, he would. Yeah, he would. Really, he's like, I'll take my chances.
Okay, I get it. You scared me. I'll stay now.
What are you talking about?
I don't think he wants to be there. He made it pretty clear he doesn't want to be with Pete Carroll.
They just
anymore.
Locked up Tyler Lockett. They just gave him like $300 million. So they're taking care of him.
That was a fun conversation. And yes, we'll have Kevin Hench, which won't be a fun conversation. But it will be entertaining, I can assure you. Everybody who listens has hit me up to tell me how much they're enjoying listening to it, even though Hench is very contentious. He's very unpleasant.
Oh, contentious. You actually have the word Hench, the name Hench, and contentious.
And Henches, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why we never thought of that.
When he was on Fox Sports a while ago, remember his little segment at the end, he would be like, and that's it, you just got Hench.
Oh my God, I do remember that. We gotta take him off that podcast. That's crazy.
That girl at Dodger Stadium got hit.
Yes, listen to -3 with Dave and Kevin Hench and Dave and Jeff Schwartz earlier in the week. Listen to Laugh Lines. We had fun there. We are going to, against all odds, we're going to pick the winner. Final four teams. I mean, you heard me here. I'll just say it again. Coming up this weekend. And what else? Joel, what am I missing? Oh, the Betting Academy with Perk and Gina Paradiso. And we got
Card Wars.
Card Wars.
I love that. I love the bones of this Card Wars.
You do, right? I like it too. Fun. I'm not sure that I'm ever going to see any of this money, but I gave Paul Aduka and I gave his friend Caleb Keller, and he's very much into the card game and the trading game. And I gave them $10,000 each, and they have 13 weeks. Whoever can turn a bigger profit gets a prize. And they're going to do breakouts, live breakouts for you home, the Joe Schmo, to get free cards too. So it's going to be a lot of fun. When is that, Joel? Friday, the Instagram breakout?
We're going to hopefully do it Friday, and you should listen to the podcast because Paul has already said he's going to give away the jersey off his back, his Matt Harvey Mets jersey. We will have a trivia question from the show. We're already giving out prizes.
He's crazy, this Laduca.
I'll tell you, it really is good times. I love the way things are coming together. What, 9 months, 10 months into doing all this? You got Sal, the established funny man, everybody knows his gambling, how good he is at the game, and his pals on Against All Odds, but rising stars like Eddie Spaghetti, and we got his pal Meatballs doing the puck on -3, and Martin Weiss is sounding great.
Yes, Lemon Pepper Parlay, Martin and Rob Parker.
It's gangbuster stuff.
It's a lot
I'm gonna
going
go
on.
Make out.
It's a lot. There's a lot to stay up on Twitter. I'm promoting stuff 37 times a day, but I love it. It's all really good content. And I want to remind everyone out there, even though you may feel like underdogs, remember, you're all my favorites. We got through it.